Would you turn to Psalm 118? I know some of you have iPads, iPhones. Some people have Bibles. We're going to learn a little bit later in this class that our author says, you know, when he starts talking about the types of prayer, that you always begin with praise and worship and thanksgiving, and you end with praise and worship and thanksgiving. So tonight, we're just going to pray just for a few minutes, the prayer of thanksgiving. Okay? Are you Psalm 118? Let's look at verse 1. Ready? Let's read. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Stand up. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you, Lord. We give you praise. And honor. Alala mahala la kandara baki here, Lord God. Rabababababahashatandara bakaya ye here. We are so thankful. Alala la mahaya ye here. Alala la mahole le kenana mahire be standara bakahaya. Lord, we're so grateful. Alala la mahaya ye here. Edededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededededed you're saying. Hallelujah. We appreciate what you're doing, Lord God. Ala la la mahaya. Ele le le mohola la kandara mahi here. E de 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 boko dada bakaya ye here. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the man of God. Oh, hallelujah. Shala la la mahaya ye here, our apostle, Lord. Ala la la mahonda da baganda de bede. Ala la la mahola la kandara mahi here. E shenda da bodonda da bakahaya. Ala la la mahanda da mahi, Lord God. Ala la la mahala la hala la hanana mayera moho sanda la bakaya ye here, Lord God. Oh, da 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 baka shanda la bakaya ye here. Oh, Lord God. Ala la la mahaya ye here. It's in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Ala la la mahala la kanda la maka shanda la bakahaya. Thank you, Lord. Ala la la mahaya ye here. Ala la la mahanda la bakahaya. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank y'all so much. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We had an assignment. Hallelujah. How many people completed their assignment? Okay. All right. Amen. I need four people to tell me something about the assignment. Yes, ma'am. Give me your name. Miss Arlene, okay.
What I did, I saw, he was telling about different positions. Okay. Praying, you know, he was talking about some was on their knees, one man was on one knee, and one was standing. He had eight different ways that they prayed, but the one that he talked about, to me, I call it the ninth position, and that you pray from heaven to earth.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Good. Okay. Three more. Yes, ma'am. And give her, and not everybody know everybody's name. That's the purpose of this, okay?
My name is Esther.
Okay,
and
Esther.
And one thing I wrote down, said praying in the name of Jesus is praying from your position in Christ, which always gives clear access to the Father.
Gives clear access to the Father. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Marguerite. He gave the definition of how many miles light travel, but he said that Jesus' light is now.
Is now. Okay, amen. One more person. One. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Tommy Alexander, he said you can stop hitting Satan in the knees and hit him in the head.
Oh, wow. Because you're doing it from what? From that heavenly position. Yeah. That was good. I just felt that it was good for this class, you know, to have an opportunity to view that video. I mean, those of us who are members of Word of Life Christian Center, we were here, and we experienced that, and it was just so, so awesome. To our online students, you will have questions on your quiz from the assignment. Okay? There was one thing I wrote down that I wanted to share with you from the video. Remember at the end, our apostle has been sharing what he's calling seals. You know, and most times it's statements that he makes about the message, and then we pray about it. I don't know if anybody has been here to experience that. But the last one, he says, it's time for me to know how to pray from heaven to handle things on earth. Amen? It's time. It's time. Amen. It is time. Because we are so accustomed to praying from earth to heaven. Amen. But now we saw and we heard that we are already seated in heavenly places. Amen. And you got to understand, now this is not a natural position, and it's not in your mind. Amen. This is a spiritual position that you're going to be taking. And you know, I think he asked, you know how apostle is. He says, and you say, well, how do I get there? How do I get to that heavenly position? Well, you just say it. you just say it, and then you just start to pray. And number one, you got to have the word. Y'all do know that. You got to have the word of God. And we believe in praying in the Holy Ghost. Remember that it's supernatural. You won't get in the spirit. The quickest way for you to get in the spirit is to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. So that's how you're going to get into those heavenly places. There was one other thing that I wanted to go back to. When we ended chapter 1 last week, we were talking about the benefits of a close relationship with God. And one of the benefits we said was that we will have peace. Like when we have that close communion with God, that fellowship with God, that we will have peace. I wanted to just share just a few things just about peace, in general. It's not in your book. One of them is, you know, I can remember years ago, Apostle shared with us, well, he made several statements. One of them was there are very, very few things that's an emergency, okay? So before you begin to pray in any crisis situation, you want to get yourself some peace first. Amen. I can remember he shared about years ago about beating the air. You know, turn there, First Corinthians chapter 9. I think if I show it to you, because, you know, I just want you to understand that there is an importance that before you begin to pray in any crisis situation, you want to pray from a position of peace. You're going to be in a heavenly position, but you want to also have peace. Because number one, if you're afraid, you know what I'm saying? You're going to be what we call beating the air. You know, you're not focused. You're not confident. You're just going to be praying. But when you have peace, and you can ask God for peace, you know? I had an opportunity. That's why it just stuck with me, you know, to go back and just talk a little bit more about that benefit, the benefit of peace. And I shared with you that when peace comes, I found out wisdom come. And then boldness and confidence come when you are in peace. So if you're not in peace when you're praying, especially in a crisis situation, then you're not going to have no wisdom, and you're not going to have no boldness and no confidence in your own prayer. Amen. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I'll start at 25. 1 Corinthians 9:25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, See that? He's fighting. Not as one, there it is, that beat the air. Now, I don't know too much about fighting, professional fighting, but I do know that they train to fight. And I do know that there's a I don't know if it's a jab and a hook and a, I mean, but these people know what they're doing. You understand? And so when you are in peace, you put yourself in a position to know what you're doing against the enemy, because God is going to begin to reveal to you secrets about how to fight. Amen. I mean, you just can't go out there, and just swing and swing and swing, and you will get knocked out. Amen. I mean, come on, people who know about professional fighters, won't you get knocked out if you're not trained, if you don't know how to protect yourself, if you don't know how to hit first or hit second, whatever. I don't know how you hit. But the main thing is that you want to be in peace, because when you're in peace, you get wisdom. Remember that? And you get confidence and you get boldness. You know, one of the scriptures that I use is the one over there in Philippians chapter 4. You know, and he talks about, don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then he says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Amen. Or in Christ Jesus. Just remember that. Always look for your peace. When you're trying to make a decision about something, I read a couple books by Brother Hagin, and and he was talking about there's this feeling that you're going to get. I call it a feeling, but just for lack of a better word, on the inside. But it's your peace, when you got a peace about it. Now he says that if that's not the way you're supposed to go, there's going to be a scratching. Okay, you are born again, amen. The Spirit of Almighty God lives on the inside of you. You are a spirit being, and he's speaking to you all the time. He's saying, hold up, go ahead, stop, wait a while, all the time. And you're going to know that in your spirit. And if you don't have a peace about something, don't do it. Don't do it. hold up, just wait. Remember, very, very few emergencies. Very, very few emergencies. Nothing is really, you got to do it right now. What the enemy will try to get you to do, and we're going to find out in chapter 2. I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is good right here. We're going to find out that God needs a physical body and a spirit. But guess who else needs a physical body and a spirit? Come on, Satan. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Satan. And it's in our lesson. He can't do nothing. Did you know he can't do nothing here unless he gets cooperation from a physical body and a spirit? And a lot of times, that spirit is going to be a spirit that's not born again. That's who he's looking for, to try to get them to do what he wants to get done, his plan. Yeah, his plan and his purpose. But at the same time, God is right there. The Holy Spirit is right there. And then the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And then he's trying to bring us to God's purpose and God's plan. And that's who we want to follow. Amen? And it's always going to be peaceful. Always going to be peaceful. Just remember that. Amen? I mean, I just thought I needed to just share that with you. I said, well, we just glossed over that whole thing about peace, but it's too important. I got to go back and I got to share with them about the peace of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, now we're ready for chapter 2. Glory to God. Amen. What is the purpose of prayer? What is the purpose? Now the author, like I told you, he lays the foundation in chapters 1 and 2, and he doesn't even talk about what prayer is until chapter 3. But that's okay. because this is what we need. We need to understand the foundation. The author shared with us in your book, he says that one of the lowest attendances in any church is what? Is the prayer meeting. Is the prayer meeting. You have very, very few. Well, you have the fewest. I'm not going to say very few, because at Word of Life Christian Center, there are times we have 100. I think, what did he want? I've forgotten how many he wanted. 300. Our apostle wanted 300 people in prayer. Now, we've gotten close. I want you to know, you know, we may not always have the 300, but in our corporate prayer. Our corporate prayer is on Monday evenings. And when his call goes out, you know, they respond. And then when they think he forgot about it, you know, we'll get 100 until he gets back up there and say, I want 300 people in prayer. And then we'll get close to that 300. Amen. All right. But anyway, it's one of the lowest attendance in any church. He says, why aren't people praying? He said, people are not praying because they do not understand the purpose of prayer. Amen. And then he goes ahead, and then this is important. You will see this on your exam. He defines the word purpose. And he says the word purpose means the original intention for which something was created. Original intention. That's purpose. Believers do not pray because they're unaware of the reason why God created prayer. When we ignore this fundamental truth, prayer is misused or practiced without vision or direction. Amen? No vision, no direction. You saying Our Father prayer the way I used to do. Amen? But God has a purpose for prayer. Then he said, people do not pray because they don't see satisfactory or positive results. You know, we live in this society, we want everything now. And if we pray tonight, we expect it in the morning. It can happen. But it doesn't happen that way most of the time. Amen? This is not microwave. There's no microwave prayer. When we ignore the reason for prayer, the desire to do it is automatically lost. You lose the desire when you ignore the reason for prayer. And that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be finding out, what is the purpose of prayer? Why do we pray? And then he gives us all of these questions. And, you know, people ask you this all the time. He says, if God is powerful and does whatever he wants, then what is the purpose of prayer? Amen. I don't know if y'all have heard that one. Another one, why should we pray if God is sovereign and does what he pleases? Why should we pray if God is unaffected by what we do? Why should we pray if God knows everything? Why do we have to tell him if he already knows it? Amen. These are just questions that he poses. Why should we pray if God controls and predetermines everything? What is the reason for prayer if the devil has already been defeated? What we got to pray for if he's already defeated? Why pray for the lost if it is God's will that we should all be saved? Amen. He says these are valid questions, and to answer them, we must first understand the true nature of God and his desire for humanity. Understanding who God is will guide us to the purpose of prayer. God is a God of purpose. Amen. Everything he created on earth, including man, was created to fulfill his purpose. Three main reasons why God created man. Why did he create man? Why he created us? Number one, man was created to reflect God's nature and to have a close relationship with him. And then in your book, he gives us Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Remember, he's using a different translation. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Dominion, remember that, dominion. If we were created to reflect God's nature and to enjoy a personal relationship with him, then this means that we were created with his nature and his moral character. The way we develop this image, see, the image is there, but it has to be developed. Can you see that? It's got to be developed. The way we develop this image and character is through our close relationship with him. God created us to reflect his character, his love, his mercy, his compassion, his righteousness, his peace, his authority, and his power. Amen? These things can never be evident unless a close relationship with him exists. See, that's what he wants for us. You know, we're created in his image and in his likeness. And so he wants us to be like him. Amen. He wants us to be like him. And that's why he wants us to have that close relationship, so that he can share with us, you know, how we can be more like him. Another reason, number two, God created humanity to fulfill his plans, his purpose, and his will on the earth. God created man in his image and gave him the ability to choose and make decisions for himself. This means that man was given free will to take action and to fulfill the will of God on the earth. God created man with the ability to function on earth, thus giving him legal rights, freedom, and authority to operate in it, talking about in earth, and to have lordship. Amen. Man is supposed to have lordship over all God created. God implemented his will on earth with man's cooperation. This never changed, even after man's downfall. When Adam and Eve messed up, it was still in force. Amen? Amen. God created man to have, there's that word again, dominion. Dominion. Amen? And again, he refers to Genesis 1:26. How did God give man the ability to take dominion? God created man with a spirit that came directly from him. Remember that? And he breathed the breath of life. Amen. God created man with a spirit that came directly from him. Hence, the human race had no choice but to govern the physical world, as God said. Amen. God said, that's what I want you to do. Have dominion. God gave man a physical body. If something does not have a body and a soul, it is illegal. Amen? You gotta have a body. He says soul. I wonder if he means spirit. I mean, y'all, that's what your author said. I think he means spirit. Amen? A body and a spirit. Because of this reason, God had to come to earth in a physical body. Amen? You know, you gotta have a physical body. God created man in his image. That image and likeness is developed through a close, and we know that's Jesus. Oh, let me see. Let's go back up there. You know that's Jesus, huh? Amen. That physical body he's talking about, that's Jesus. God created man in his image. That image and likeness is developed through a close and intimate relationship with him. God is unable to do anything that goes against his word. Amen. If it's not in the word, he's not going to do it. Or if it doesn't line up with the word, he says, no, don't ask me for that. I can't do that. Amen. Three things God established from the beginning, as was found in Genesis 1:26. Number one, God is sovereign, as his word is sovereign. Everybody understand what that word sovereign means? Think of words like supreme. Think about highest authority. God limits himself with his word. He is unable to go beyond what he has said or established. That was number two, I'm sorry. And number three, God never violates his own word. Everything God declares is law. And these are the three things that were established in the beginning. He's sovereign. He's limited himself with his word. And he's not going to go beyond what he's already said or established. And he will never violate his own word. Anytime God says something, it becomes law. Amen? Amen. Prayer was created and limited by the word. Okay? By the word. God established in his word that for something to be done on earth, it must be done through a physical body and through the spirit. Amen. That's why cows and horses can't do it. Amen. They got a physical body, but they don't have no spirit. Amen. Amen. God, as well as the devil, here we go, needs a physical body to dwell on earth. This is the reason God said to the devil, I will come to earth legally, and I will step on your head, and I will do it through a woman, as found in Genesis 3:15. How did God enter the earth with a physical body? God became this word, Emmanuel. Remember that. You'll see it again, Emmanuel. And the meaning is God with us. Amen. And we know he's talking about Jesus. And his name shall be called Emmanuel. Remember that? God is unable to interfere in any situation on earth without the prayer of the believer. Prayer is the equivalent of man giving God the legal right to do his will on earth. Amen. But see, we got to know his will. It's so important for us to know his will, know what's written, know what he said, know what's established. And we learn that by studying God's word. Amen. So that when you go to him, Lord, you say it. And, you know, you quote the scripture and you remind him, well, you said this. Amen. I believe it. Amen. God does not use us. Remember now, he needs that physical body and he needs the spirit, right? He does not use us because we are intelligent, indispensable, or great. A lot of us would be in trouble if he did. Amen. God uses us because he is limited by his own word. Amen. And if you go back to Genesis, there you go. He made man. And he said, you know, I'm giving you lordship. I'm giving you dominion. This is, you know, you're in charge. And this is why he needs us. This is why he uses us. Amen. And if you look at Matthew 18:18, and, you know, whatever you bind, remember that, on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. When we pray, we give God permission to invade our lives, to change our family, cities, and nations. That's when we pray. So I guess if we're not praying, we're not giving him the right to do that, huh? Amen. That's why prayer is so important, so important, so important. God desires to heal us, not only to make us feel better. That's not the only reason he's healing you. Amen. Now this was good. I don't know about y'all. This was good when I read that. He says he desires to heal us, not only to make us feel better, but because he needs us to fulfill his will. He needs you to be healthy. He needs you to be strong. Amen? Because he needs you to be the one to do his will. I mean, if you're sick, can you do the will of God?
No.
You can't do it. So he needs you well. So, I mean, you know, if we're dealing with something, that would be a good one to go right there. Well, Lord, you know, I know you need me. You know, I'm doing some things for you, and I need to get well. You know, that's a good one. I got all excited when I saw that. It's like, yes, indeed, this is good. God is looking for someone who lives in a physical body to stand in the gap for his people and pray. Amen. Looking for some people. Over in Ezekiel 22:30, it says, so I sought for a man among them who would make up, in the King James, I think it's a hedge, and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. But look what he said. But I found none. Amen. But we're changing that. Amen. We are the ones who are going to be changing that because we're going to be interceding. We're going to be standing in the gap. We're going to be making up the hedge. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here because he says some good things. God is seeking a spirit within a body to stand in on someone else's behalf. That's what intercession is. That's what it means to intercede. God is looking for a man or a woman willing to stand in the gap for his people, to build a fortress. When you're interceding, that's what you're doing. You're building a fortress for somebody else. You're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for somebody else. To be a covering for a church or a family. He needs someone to give birth to his plans here on earth. Now this is the sad part. Many of God's plans and purposes may never be fulfilled here on earth because there is no one to intercede. Isn't that something? You know, isn't that something? See, a lot of times we think, you know, our prayer is only about us and our lives are just only about us, but they're about other people. Do you know that, and I think Apostle said something about that, Reverend Montrell, I'm not sure which one, but somebody said something, you know, like if we don't pray, do you realize that some people may never get saved? You know, if we don't pray, prayer is just so important. Some visions, you know, let's say God called a man or a woman to pastor a church, but nobody's praying for him. Nobody's praying for her. So that vision never manifests. It never comes a lot because nobody was praying. Amen. Or nobody knew how to pray. Or he started it, and then it just, you know, it just fell apart. Nobody was praying. Prayer is so important. Now, I must say, you know, our apostle is a man of prayer. Amen. He has been a man of prayer from the beginning. You know, I've only been here, let's see, I claim 25 or 27. I think it's 25 years. I claim 25 years. But I was one of those people who hung around a while before I acknowledged my membership. But even before I became a member, you know, I saw the life of prayer in this church. This church has always been a praying church. You know, when they were down in Darrow, I mean, I wasn't there when they were in a little church. They had a little church, and then they built a bigger church. But they were praying. When I went there in 1990, I mean, we had 24-hour prayer. I think it was once a month, we would go in and you'd sign up for whatever hour you wanted to pray. We had people pray, coming to the church to pray, 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you signed for your hour. Not only did we have 24-hour prayer, we had corporate prayer. Back then, it was on Saturday mornings, and you know people would come to pray. Then we had couples prayer, you know, where husband and wives would come together, and then they would pray. And then we had family prayer for people like me, whose spouse wasn't here. And then we would come, me and my kids, you know, we would come and then we would pray. And then they had singles prayer. Amen. You know, you had all of these different prayer, I don't want to call them groups, you know, going times, all these different times for prayer that was going on. And this was from way back. I came and I found it there. So, I mean, you know, and we still praying. You know, this church has a, oh my, Oh, wow. Okay. This church has a very, very, she's just telling me that I only have 5 minutes, has a very, very active prayer life. And what I want you to see, look at the fruit of the prayer life of this man of God. Amen. This school, hallelujah, is a product of his prayer life. Amen. You know, because see, God was able to call him and say, I want you to start this school. And everything, he saturates everything with prayer. And he said, you know, if this is what you want me to do, then I'll do it. And he prayed about it. And today, here you are as a result of his prayers. Amen. All right. Glory to God. We have one more class before the exam. And just if I forget, remind me next week, you know, what to go over. I'm sorry. Oh, I have 4 more minutes. Oh, that's okay. That's all right. Anybody have any questions? We got 4 minutes. No? That's it. All right. Thank y'all so much. Be blessed.